This program is brought to you by Pussy Magnets.
Putting men on your friends with a pussy magnet.
Welcome, welcome, my lovely lumps. Or should I say lovely labs? I'm so thrilled to have you here in the Labia Lounge. We're going to yarn about all things sexuality, womanhood, relationships, intimacy, holistic health, and everything in between. Your legs. Ooh. Can't help myself. Anyway, we're going to have vag loads of real chats with real people about real shit. So buckle up. You're about to receive the sex ed that you never had and have a bloody good laugh while you're at it. Before we dive in, I'd like to respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which I'm recording this, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. It's an absolute privilege to be living and creating dope podcast content in Naam, and I pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging. Now, if y'all are ready, let's flap and do this. Oh my God, is there such thing as too many vagina jokes in the one intro? Whatever, it's my podcast. I'm leaving it in.
Don't panic, you're not broken. Your sex education was a piece of shit. Get your flaps out and pull up a couch. It's the Labia Lounge.
All right. Hey, Leggies. So just popping in quickly to let you know that this is the third and final installment of the Esoteric Festival live series. This one is, if you'll believe it, even more uncut and raw than usual, especially the first conversation that I record on here, which is with a mate. So I was feeling pretty relaxed. And just to give some context, also, it was just stinking hot. I'd had barely any sleep. It had been a whole time. And it was one of the first convos I had before we opened up to the general public, and I progressively lost my voice over the coming days. So I kind of hadn't fully got my, you know, my host hat on yet. And there's quite a few miscarried tangents that occur, pretty meandering chats, but so much gold in there. And then after that, there's a whole bunch of convos that I had with punters from the festival. Actually, a lot of men in this episode. That was purely accidental. That was just, you know, the stories that I still had left after editing the first two episodes together. So yeah, get stuck in, gang. Enjoy. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm always ready.
So I'm going to pull some question cards for you. Yeah. Oh, shit. Put the lid on that. Yeah, it's a bit windy in here. It's, might just have to be a bit of a VIP experience because we can't put the signs out or anything. It's just too windy. So I might just have to sort of secretly whisk people away in here and do little private interviews or something.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, all right.
What's going to come out of these cunts now? Oh, where did it's dangerous.
All right, my first question for you. Do you think I'm pretty?
Yes.
No, I'm just joking. The question is actually...
Are you asking that to everyone to get your validation?
No, like, no, just you. It's just a bit getting you comfortable.
I think you're beautiful. I think you're gorgeous.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, I think you're hot. I think you're sexy. I think you are a real woman.
Okay. Thank you.
A babe.
Ta. Just wanted to put inside you at ease. Out. You know, it's a little icebreaker.
That doesn't put me at ease.
What? Making a joke?
Being No. It doesn't put me at ease. Like, oh, I tell you all the things that I think and feel about you. It's like, okay. they're all strong.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful. Appreciate that. All right. What's your go-to special move in the bedroom? Or what's your strongest area as a lover?
Oh,
like, if you don't have a go-to move. Because obviously your old go-to moves don't.
Yes, so the old go-to move. Yeah.
What was the old go-to move, and then what are you rocking now?
Well, it's not really a move. The move would be bringing out a bag of cocaine. Yeah, you know, like, and also there was this part of it where it would be getting the woman to blow coke, like for them to feel like empowered to blow coke up my ass. You know, like
they
would, so they would blow coke up my ass, and I would blow coke up their ass. Or it was like, it's really vulnerable to do that.
Totally. You know, how do you do that with like a straw or something? Like,
then you just scoop it out of a like a note. And there's like, you know, the go to move is like, oh, what like secret tricks do you know that I've never seen before? And I was always learning all these tricks and things to do with cocaine that would be like, oh, like, you know, the power dynamic of you.
I'm more experienced than
I'm more powerful. Cocaine is a powerful drug.
Oh my god.
And I'm the cocaine guy.
Oh my god, okay.
Yeah,
so, status power.
Status power. And so, like, putting the cocaine in the bag, to winding it up and showing someone else how to do it, uh-huh. and then put it in my ass and then blow it in.
Oh.
Yeah, so you work a note, wind it in, then wind the note so it was flat like a circle, and the coke would be in there and blow it up someone's ass.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a move.
What a move.
All right. Okay. And so now that you can't rely on the coke up the butthole, what's your strongest area in the bedroom? Or what do you feel like, you know, is an area or a vibe that you're really comfortable and confident with?
I think now it's just about, I can't believe I'm saying this.
I don't think
it's a particular move. I think it's about presence.
Yeah, dude. It is.
It's about,
correct
like, I'm
answer.
Here and yeah, correct answer. And not only am I here, is there's a difference between even if I'm in power in the bedroom and I'm bucking,
mm-hmm.
it's like I think there's this very soft dynamic in like being the dark masculine or the dark side in the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
but also being what energy in my mind am I in? Am I taking from this woman or am I giving to her? And I have to, if I'm taking, I have to stop, slow down, breathe, and I have to give. Because otherwise, if I'm taking, it's like that energetically can be felt. And yeah, it's very different with different women too, you know, like, you know, they, but just consciously for me to be able to give, you know. But then particular move, there's like particular actual move, I'd say... Yeah, it's slowness with like entering into the vagina.
Yeah.
First with your fingers. Like there has to be like such slowness and they have to be extremely aroused and
mm-hmm.
someone wetter than others. But like there has to be, you know, when a woman goes, they move their hips and pelvis through
yes.
into my fingers.
Yes.
Not I'm entering into you. Like
yeah.
you
yeah.
You're so aroused that you slide yourself in.
Yeah,
your fingers,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
rather than me go, I just need to get in there.
Yeah.
And so, then your tongue and the come hither is always, it's always like, you know, it's always like, okay, there it is.
Tried and true.
There it is. You know, that's like, you know, okay. So, good question for me to like reflect on that.
Yeah. Great answer. Love all of that.
Yeah.
As a sex educator, my nips are hard right now. That's really heartening to, especially like knowing where you've come from and the like massive change that you've kind of brought about. Like you've driven that, I imagine. Obviously, you must have met some powerful women along the way that have like.
I didn't drive that.
You didn't
Someone
drive it at all,
that.
But you've got to
me.
Have been like open enough to it. You would have had to have attracted the women that then drove that, and there's something in you that they saw that was
nice.
Worth teaching.
Thank you, I liked it. I like that. Sometimes I'm always like, oh, someone showed me.
No, you've got to be a willing participant.
Yeah,
I pick my battles. If I can tell someone's not going to be malleable enough for me to like teach them some shit, I don't even bother.
And then it's interesting you say that, and just this point where it's like. You're right, because what ended up happening is this woman in my life she ended up becoming a bit of a teacher for me, and so there was this really, it wasn't toxic, but it was a dynamic where I felt lesser, and that was really hard, especially as a man in the bedroom, and so you're right, I actually went outside of her and went on my own journey to find and be taught by sex educators, you know, and explore that online and you know, through coursework online and stuff like that, rather than be like, you need to teach me everything, because then you come back with like a new move and it's like, where you been boy? Yeah, I've been learning.
Yeah, well that's it, like something that I find, and a lot of people in my industry and even just like, you know, my friends, women in general, I've had a lot of conversations recently around, you know, we're all just a little bit sick of being the only one driving, like bringing the new thing into the relationship, being like, hey, come to this workshop with me, hey, let's do this breathing exercise, hey, like, why don't we try this, or like, let's have a conversation about, and often it's definitely like stereotyping, but often it is like the man in a hetero dynamic in that equation that's like a bit more resistant, a little bit kind of dragging their feet, like they'll maybe come to the party a little bit, but you've always got to steer the ship, and you've always got to, like, bring the new information or learning or practice or technique or move into the relationship and, like, fucking practically convince them. And it's just so nice when you meet someone that's, like, actually, like, on their own tip, doing their own learning, going and sourcing their own, you know, like, teachings and resources, and they're interested in it for themselves, not just because, like, you're like, hey, babe, can we, like, do this thing? They're like, oh, okay, for you. But it's not their thing. You know, when I was getting into all the sacred sexuality, neo-tantric stuff back in the day, I had a partner, and it was really emasculated by it, because I was always bringing, like, learning all these things, having these experiences, bringing it back to the relationship and the bedroom and being like, let's do this, let's try this, I had this experience. And he was, like, feeling left behind and as though he wasn't bringing anything in, like, to the table, which, yeah, it's tricky to find a balance where someone else is as committed to, like, the self-work and the exploration in the same area as you. So I love that you were like, ooh, I'm feeling like there's a weird kind of teacher-student power dynamic going on, and that's a little bit, like, disempowering for me, and that makes me feel less than, so I'm going to go fucking find some of my own, you know, ways to explore this that feel empowering and that I can then take to other women, you know? Nice one.
I've got two questions for you.
Yeah, yeah. That. Yeah, good.
No, thanks for, like, yeah.
Pleasure.
Explaining that. And so the question for me is, like, you just spoke to how there's men and a lot of your friends experience men that are like, they're just not willing to level up or learn or understand. It's like, in a modern day society, what do you think, Sarah, that some of the key factors is into why that is the case?
Oh my god, massive question. Well, have you heard of the man box?
I have, the man box study.
The man box, like, the whole concept of it, that, like, the patriarchy has created these expectations and stereotypes of what a real man is. That's kind of at the root of most of it. It's like, can't talk about your feelings, that's weak. Don't, you know, don't show emotion. Fuck like a porn star. You know, power, status, control. Like, that's their kind of view of masculinity. Like, the way that I kind of explain it is just like, footy footy, boys, boys, like that kind of vibe, like locker room, like just real toxic mask vibes. I mean, I love guys that were like that, because I'm a bogan. I've got a bogan backbone. I love guys that were like that and are now, like, conscious. You know, they've woken up, they're like, fuck, that was problematic. I was a cunt. I'm going to go and do some work on myself. And they need these amazing, like, people that they meet along the way to plant the seeds, and often, like, women to kind of give them a safe space to, like, explore that and, like, get in touch with themselves. But yeah, I think, like, I mean, it just all comes back to the patriarchy, doesn't it? And societal conditioning because of that. I think that's why. I can't even remember your question, but it's like, why do men feel resistant and, like, they don't want to level up?
Not that they don't want to level up, but why they haven't already. Like, what are the factors within society that
they haven't had to? No one, they get away with fucking anything. Yeah, they're entitled, privileged. They've literally got all the power, all the entitlement, all the privilege. Why would they have ever needed to change? What happens right now in the patriarchy, like, has served them. And, like, on a lot of levels, it doesn't serve them at all. It's fucking all of us up. But, like, you know, it's kind of working out for them in a whole lot of ways that they're not really willing to give up. And it's tricky for the people that aren't, that don't have that privilege and power, like, you know, minorities or women, to force them to level up and to go, hey, change needs to happen. It's so slow. Like, it is happening. But honestly, like, the expectations on men are so low. The bar is so low. Like, women's standards, insanely low. It's like heartbreaking how much we let slide because we've been conditioned to, you know, cater to the male gaze, people please, go along with things, don't create a fuss. Like, all the consent stuff is just so nuanced and complex. Like, guys are out here doing shit sexually with zero concept of, like, consent. And I just think, yeah, I mean, it's huge.
Two things, that's it. One, I think a factor for me, you know, men didn't have to step up, it's like, and the patriarchy, I think, for me anyway, it's like my experience, and a lot of men I've met, it's like porn.
Yes.
You know, it's like, And that shit's addictive.
Yes.
And also education, right? For me, education was like, it wasn't until 3 years ago, Freya, that I didn't understand that the difference between a male and a female orgasm.
Oh, yeah.
That men become depleted and that's it. And also that my then realising through having another partner is like, I actually got shamed when I would orgasm.
When you would ejaculate.
Yeah, yeah. And then also then, and then there was this test within myself. Whenever I would say to myself, you're not going to orgasm, you're not going to ejaculate, you're not going to ejaculate, you're not going to orgasm. Then I would orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would feel shame. Mm. Then I wouldn't trust myself because I can't trust myself. But there is this, there's this nuance. Mm. And this nuance, I believe, is so true. If you're with a woman and you can hold your ejaculation, she can trust you. If you can't hold yourself in that,
mm-hmm.
where's the rest of the trust in the relationship? Like, that was a key thing for me. And it's like, you know, regardless of whether I can, you know, penetrate or go for like a long time, it's like, as long as I can trust myself and say, I need to stop,
mm-hmm.
I want you to be able to have that trust rather than like, I can't. And then, you know, energetically, whether I orgasm afterwards, it's like, I'm not as there as I was in the first time. Regardless, I can go back there, sure, but it's not, it's a slightly diminished energy.
Yeah.
The sensations, everything like that. So I think, yeah, the other couple of factors is, you know, for me is like porn, you know, and you said, you know, that they just have no idea and have had privilege. It's like, just haven't been educated in that either. And some woman said to me too, she's like, I generally don't go for good looking men because they take, you know, and this might be a little bit like, I don't know, wrong, whatever.
Yes.
It's like I go for men that aren't as good looking because they have to step up in bed.
Yeah.
Is that, do you find that
I've
to
heard
be...
that. Oh, I talked about it on Potty recently.
Okay. Yeah.
I had a guest on talking about like beauty privilege and body image and like just the amount of like the different ways you get treated depending on how you look and like if you have beauty privilege. And we were talking about how like there's this kind of trope of like, you know, I've had friends say, like, oh, I love the chubby ones because they, like, they're better. They try harder in bed because they don't have the beauty privilege to fall back on. And I'll, like, often, you know, like that, the guy I was telling you about recently, I was like, he's hot, but I bet he doesn't have a personality. I bet he's not funny. He's actually too hot to even be funny.
Mm.
Like, he's probably never had anyone say no to his dick in his life. And I think that's why I was so shocked when I said no, because he was like, wait, hang on, but what? Because, like, I don't think these people here know enough and they don't have to communicate, they don't have to have consent discussions, they don't really have to do any of the shit that people who don't have that privilege do. And, like, being a man, being white, also being attractive, like, fuck me, really, that's top of the pyramid privilege there. Yeah, it's really problematic. And I think, like, it's hard because what would have to happen for that to change is like all women everywhere just like taking a stand and being like, we're not gonna, like, you know, we're not gonna settle for, like, you know, you like pushing our head down on our dicks after the first date in the car. We're not just gonna go along with that because it's easier than making a fuss. Like, I hear this shit constantly, like the amount
I used to
of
do
like,
that shit.
Yeah, fuck, dude.
And it's
just because of lack of education and porn and entitlement and patriarchy. It's like men feel entitled to women's bodies. They feel entitled to us sexually, and we've been indoctrinated to feel as though they're entitled to us sexually. And it's also easier to go a lot, so many women go along with doing something sexually because they don't really want to do it. But the alternative is like if they actually said no and tried to get out of that situation, it might actually become overt rape. It's actually still rape. It's like, it's sneaky rape because like there isn't any like active eager consent
from the man and taking responsibility to know the nuance. And I've seen that too, the nuance of like actually using my voice and also being, as I get older, being intuitive of like, this person, you can see on the minor parts, like you see it on the dance floor. You know, it's just like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? That woman is giving you shutdown vibes.
Yeah.
And it's it's not your place to continue to go back there. Mm. Like, that's that. That's on that nuance, let alone when they're in a more vulnerable place and no one's around.
Exactly.
In the bedroom, and it's like...
Intoxicated, potentially. Like, they've been feeding them drinks all night. And, like, what I think, like, another part of why this happens... And men don't realise that they're fucking rapists, which is a strong word, but honestly, read Consent Laid Bare. It's an incredible book. I'm getting the author on my potty soon, so I'm pretty pumped. Just been reading it, getting all nerdy on it. But, like, one of the things she talks about is, like, men and being in this man box, like, you're rewarded for not taking no for an answer, for being assertive, for going after what you want, for taking what you want. That's powerful. That's strength. That then turns into, like, a woman giving the shutdown vibes and being like, no, and him being like... And even in all the rom-coms, like, how many scenes have you seen where the woman's like, no, get out of my face, and he's like, I'm just going to get more persistent and stalkery, and then she eventually, like, gives in, and it's like, no actually means maybe or yes. And, like, that's fucked because, like, we've got... Yeah, I mean, yeah. And also, like, it's even beyond... No means no now. It's like no means no, but you also need like a very active yes. Because if you don't have anything, that's still a no. You know, a lot of women don't say anything, they just go on.
No means no, maybe means no.
No, and nothing means no. Yeah. You need a fuck yes.
Yeah, yeah, nice. So true.
Yeah. Big conversation. Thanks, dude. Do you want to pick another card, or you got more to say on this topic?
I've probably got more to say.
Yeah.
There was another key point that he... this point here. You mentioned about men, you know, I've experienced it too, feeling shame because they're not at the same level or whatever. It's like, how do you... Not overtly, but how do you then... When a man's in that space, a loving space, and isn't, let's say, brackets enough, they're always enough, but how do you then, as a woman, not shame them and encourage them to be better by actually getting better?
Yeah, it's tricky because of all of what we've just spoken about, like, a lot of people, like, not just men, definitely, maybe slightly more men, but, like, everyone really struggle to take feedback and take guidance without it putting them in their heads and making them feel inadequate.
Hello.
It's a thing. And this happened with, like, that partner I was mentioning from years ago. Like, you know, I would try to give a bit of guidance or direction and be like, oh, can you just, like, move your hand this way or da da da. And, you know, try to do it really gently and lovingly, compliment sandwich that shit. Just be like, oh, I love the way that you're, like, sucking my nipple, but do you think you could slow down with your hands a little bit? I really love it when you are really gentle and slow. Like, just kind of, you know, like, positive affirmations and yeah, like, the language you use. Not like, don't do that. That's not nice. Just be like, oh, I love this, but can you do maybe a bit more of this or a bit less of this? And just, you know, just some basic communication skills. Still, though, some people then, you know, there's so much insecurity, like, wrapped up in... sex and, like, you know, our egos are so attached, men in particular, like, you've got to be this, like, fucking stud in the sack that knows all the moves and can make her come, and, like, you are programmed to feel like you have to be the purveyor of female pleasure, like, you got to provide that shit, and that's bullshit, and, you know, women, like, perpetuate that as well. Like, I've had lots of clients that I've had to try to, like, gently, like, redirect when they're like, yeah, like, if he doesn't give me an orgasm, I'm like, no, and it's, like, this new brand of feminism where they're like, he's like, it's all about my pleasure and he's gonna make me come, otherwise fuck that guy. And I'm like, whoa, dude. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's both of your responsibility, for fuck's sake. Where was I going with that? I got sidetracked. What was I saying?
I like that. I like that you get sidetracked, because you know what that means? It means you're enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I'll have to take notes when I'm interviewing people on the potty as well, because I just forget. There's too many tangents. They're good topics. How to communicate what you want and what you don't like, and communicate it in the bedroom without making them feel like not enough or insecure. I mean, there's only so much you can do, and then, like, as a woman, I, like, try to do that so tactfully. Like, I feel like it's an art communicating this stuff, making it playful and like fun, I think, is really helpful because people take it too seriously and then there's all this pressure and then it's awkward and people don't like talking during sex because it breaks the mood. And I'm like, fuck that.
No way, bro.
Talk about it. Giggle. Have a funny time. Bodies are hilarious. Like, if it's a playful, fun environment, it becomes more of a safe space for them to like learn and take on feedback. I think a good thing to do is always like set an example, like lead by example, by being like, maybe not just going in for the kill and being like commenting on what they're doing and what you want them to do more of, but maybe asking them like, hey, like, how does this feel for you? Would you prefer me to go a bit slower? Or like, is this okay? Like, you ask for consent, you fucking check in, and just set that tone so that they know it's okay to like ask. And it's not going to break the mood. You can do it in a way that's like organic and, you know, sexy if that's your thing. But I think at the end of the day, like, men have so much pressure on them. We all have heaps of pressure on us for different reasons, but I think men like wanna yeah, be like, dude, I'm literally dripping with sweat in here. Shit.
Top. Yes.
Yeah, like, it's hard. It's hard to hold yourself when you're... Thank you. Oh, my God. Ugh. When you're... Yeah, you've already got some insecurities around your performance. Like, performance anxiety is such a big thing. And, like, you know, when you were saying you felt like a failure or ashamed if you, like, ejaculated because, you know, especially in the neo-tantra scenes, that's, you know, you shouldn't do that. It's not as fucking work. And, like, you lose your life force energy. And, like, cool, yes, love intentionally being able to choose, you know, ejaculatory control, great skill to have. Really loved what you said about, like, then the woman knows she can trust you. Especially, like, because I use fertility awareness method. I'm not on any hormonal birth control or anything, so I'm just, like, tuned up with my cycles. And, like, you know, it's, like, you do want to know that they're going to be able to hold their shit in and not get you pregnant accidentally, or not just, like, get carried away and selfishly just do that in the moment. And... Oh my God. I'm melting.
Sweat, baby.
And I'm going on so many tangents and I want to come back to this point. What is my point? I've got an episode on how, like, because the equivalent of that in the tantra world of, like, ejaculations being, like, don't do that, like, try not to do that, is, like, clitoral orgasms are shamed a little bit in some of the tantra circles because it's, like, the equivalent of a male ejaculation. It's meant to be, like, explosive and outwards and, like, deflating, whereas vaginal orgasms from internal penetration are, like, nourishing and implosive. And I don't really, like, I don't teach that sort of shit anymore. I think it can be, like, you know, pleasure's pleasure, and I'm not... I think it can be problematic when people start, like, kind of shaming themselves for really natural parts of what their body does. I think it's good, though, to have some intentionality around it. But, yeah, I've gone way off your question. I don't really know the answer. It depends on the person.
You highlighted something for me, too, then, about... conversation and play, and something that I learned that I unfortunately didn't get to explore as much as I would have liked to is, like, when I go into a sexual setting with someone, it's like, for me not to feel shame, it's like, if I can go into that setting and have a conversation around, hey, I want to explore, I want to play, I don't want this to be for you to be, it's not about, this is a session of, like, pleasure. This is a session for me just to understand your body, learn more about your body. Let's go to a learning session and laugh and talk and be like, oh, how does that feel? Does that hurt? Like,
exactly.
And then it's like, oh, I'm learning more about it. For then another time, it's like, which can be less conversation and more like breath and intimacy and eye gazing and things like that. That then I know this person's body more and then have the tools to be able to know that that pleasures them or that hurts them or that...
Dude, it's like learning any new skill or getting to know a new person. You've got to calibrate
You don't go to game day.
No.
You, like, need to fucking train, bro.
You've got to have, like, the testing ground and, like, have a lot more communication in the beginning until you establish, like, a bit more of, like, the... I mean, there's never just, like, blanket consent, but, like, you know one another, you feel safe, you kind of know how each other's bodies work, and, like, yeah, I think in the beginning, like, quite a lot of play, communication, taking orgasm off the pedestal, like not putting pressure on orgasm or sexual pleasure, but just exploration, curiosity, pleasure, like different forms of pleasure, but doesn't even have to be genital related, or it doesn't have to be like geared towards having a release, quote unquote. And that's something I talk about a lot because I think that really fucks with people, like the pressure of, like, you know, orgasm being the be-all and end-all of a sexual sort of sesh, you know?
Yeah, and as I was saying before, it's like, what's your move, Luke? I'm like, it's not really a move anymore. Like, and it's nice to be like, I don't have a move. My move is, like, being fully there for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the engorgement of a woman. It's like, I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And a woman can be engorged by that. It's like, there's nothing else going on in my mind. You know? It's like, oh, you're sweating from that, huh?
I'm literally feeling it dripping.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners at home, we're like in the gazebo at the Labia Lounge at the festival, and it's like 40 degrees, literally 40 degrees today. But it's too windy to open it up, so we're just under here.
It's also my fault because I wanted to be.
You wanted to have the right
Lounge,
the full
not in the back of Freya's van.
Which was also probably too hot in there as well. There's really no respite, but, you know, you wanted the full experience. That's so fair enough. It's very nice in here. I mean, why aren't you sweating though? You seem dry. And you've got socks on, you freak.
Yeah. I don't know, it feels like the bedroom. It's like you're getting sweaty.
Baby. Yeah.
I got one more bit. There's something that's really interesting me and coming to, like, my awareness recently. It might be my experience in the community I'm in.
Highly doubt it. I bet it's relatable.
I'm seeing a lot of women being attracted to and also engaging with other women, not with men anymore. Heaps. Like, everyone's a lesbian. Or everyone's bi.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm a homophobe. There's actually been like some dreams or some
still
things.
Still though?
Or? Yeah, no, definitely not a homophobe now. But my whole upbringing was like ultra masculine, which ends up being toxic. Yeah. But there's been like this part of me that's been like, oh, like, I'm so open that I'm not attracted to, but would I be willing to let a man explore me and me explore a man? It's like, probably not at this stage, but I'm like, would I go there? I don't know. But I think it's very different for women, and I'm seeing all these circles of women who, they're not gay.
Yeah.
They're not gay.
Yeah.
100% they're not gay. Like, I know they love the D.
Yeah.
Yeah? But they're exploring other women, and I think it comes back to, I believe, and I'm not sure what your experience is of conversations with other women, it comes back to, like, not, men not stepping up or them not experiencing the full strength of a masculine in honouring them in the bedroom, yet women are on the same level and they can, you know, they all, I always hear this thing, women always say, you know, you can't get licked out, like, get growled out by a woman, you know, like, it's like the best experience, like, a lot of women have said that to me, you know, it's like, women know how to go down on women, and it's just like, okay, like, and it's, yeah, I'm just wondering what your experience is, are you saying that more? Or not?
Yeah, actually. I mean, I just figure, like...
And why?
Female sexuality is so... it is more fluid than men's just because we have more freedom. There's a little bit less kind of, you know, toxic mask homophobia shit...
Less stigma.
Like, ...programmed into us. And, you know, it's almost... yeah, it's kind of more encouraged. Like, lesos are hot. Everyone loves lesbian porn. Like, straight women will still... say that they watch more lesbian porn than hetero porn, even though they're straight. So I think it's definitely a bit of a theme, like, but I have been hearing, people just being like, fuck, I'm done with men. Like, being with a woman is so much better. They communicate, they're sensitive, they're gentle, they know how to fucking get around my body, they're slow, and, you know, there's there's pros and cons, I guess, but, like, yeah, I have seen people, like, forsaking the D because they're like, I actually cannot be fucked with men anymore.
Yeah, rather than the biological imprint with who we are. It's like socially... it's
but
like,
I think so many people are queer. Like, I think it's such a spectrum and we're just probably more so, like, socialised to be... like, I think a lot of people, if they weren't socialised to be straight, if society wasn't structured around heterosexual kind of relationships and if we didn't have, you know, like even back, like when I was growing up in the 90s, like when you were growing, like so much homophobia.
Totally.
It's like it getting there now, school. But it's still fucking, you know, so if we didn't have that, I think way more people would be like heaps sexually free and just explode if like when people let go and all of my queer friends are like, everyone's gay, they just don't know it yet. Like, they're like, they're just in denial. Everyone's gay, they're just in denial. Or, like, everyone's queer. They just don't know what they're missing yet and they're just, like, stuck in, you know, their kind of...
programming.
Yeah! And, like, I've got a podcast episode with an ex of mine, Max, called I'm Straight and I Suck a Dick. Because he's actually very straight. Very, very straight. But he's always wanted to suck a dick. He's like, I just think I'd be good at it. I want to give it a go. If I'm expecting a chick to do that, I probably should have a just cop a load myself. I'm like, yes, dude, get it. And the whole time we were together, like, he would kind of be like, yeah, like, one day it's got to be. I mean, because he's not attracted to men, so it's very rare that he's got enough. I think for him it was safety. Safety and, like, playfulness to explore that with a man because, like, it's quite intimidating to have someone's sexual energy coming at you if you're not attracted to, like, that gender at all.
My head started straight away going to, like, oh, would I be... I'm like, I like this. Would I be into that? It's like, I wouldn't be into it. Would I be willing to explore it? Potentially, but also, like, if some fucking dude grabbed the back while I was trying that, grab the back of my head and put on the cock, it's like, I'd probably buy that cunt's cock off, get up, uppercut him, and then jump on his head. Well, you know, like, that's...
Because there's no safety there.
Yeah,
just sexual entitlement. So welcome to our world. But, yeah, Max, like, finally after years, like, I got this voicey from him. We'd been broken up for years. And he's like, guess what? It happened.
My man.
Get around it. And, like, and then he came on the podcast and we just chatted about it and I heard about the whole story and it's so fascinating because he's really intelligent and articulate. So it was cool to hear the process and, you know, he's a sensitive dude. Like, it was a bit of a big deal, but he was like, I'm going to take this opportunity because there was, like, this gay guy who was in an open relationship and was just, they were hanging out all night at this party, really safe. Max just kind of put it to him, was like, hey, I've just kind of always wanted to do this thing. Like, I'm not gay, but, like, what do you reckon? And the dude was, like, just a beautiful kind of sexual surrogate to, like, you know, usher him into the world of sucking dick. And, yeah, you've got to listen to it, dude. It's actually cool. So funny. There's this moment where he's like, yeah, so, like, I kind of got down there. And
here's this resistance for me. I was like, no, I don't want to go that way and be seen as a gay guy.
What, because you listen to the podcast?
No. Not because you listen to the podcast. Because it might be, like, oh, like, yeah. You know, but then again, all the worlds that I've opened up into, it's just like, it's all about judgment of others rather than my exploration, so.
I mean, I think there's nothing more liberating than just, like,
sucking dick.
Being totally free to, like, if the opportunity presented itself, you found yourself in, like, a fucking orgy or there was just, like, I don't know, the stars all have to align because for me as well, I'm, like, so fucking straight. So straight, kissed a couple of chicks. Never gone down on anyone. I would honestly be such an awesome lesbo. I finger bang for a living.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it. I'm just not attracted to pussy. Unfortunately. So, you know, but I'm like, but I want to, like, experience some stuff. I want to be open. But, like, honestly, all the stars have to align and I have to be in the right exact zone and mood and da-da-da. And they just, it just really hasn't, like, almost ever. So... yeah, I feel like, though, being able to adapt and be open to the situation if the opportunity presented itself and it felt good and interesting and curious and whatever is, like, a good thing, ultimately. So listen to it.
It's so funny you say that. Last night I was on the dance floor and this, I'm a psytrance head, right? But I went to the techno stage. You were there, actually. And this guy come next to me and I'm like, this dude, Basil, and I was like, bro, I'm like... I'm not really a techno head, but there's something sexy about techno. I just want to get a woman next to the speaker and just have like this deep sex, like, and not care about anyone looking around. Then he was just like, no, he said that to men, and then I explained that to him. He's like, you know, having sex next to a function once. I'm like, yeah. And then I was like, you know, you're talking about how you'd need to be in the right energy and all those things. I'm like, these spaces are available, like Germany, Kit Kat, Let's create a club here.
Yeah. I mean, I can't be bothered. I feel like my days of being that open and explorative are over. Maybe they'll come back, but, like, I can't be bothered. I'm just, like, craving that monog dick.
Yeah. I'm gonna be saying to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the same. I'm Yeah, I'm not going to go there right now.
Yeah. I mean, being around the traps, it's just, you can't, it's not sustainable forever.
No.
Yeah. Damn.
All right. Nice. So, like, it's a decent chat from one
card.
Hey, baby babes. Sorry to interrupt. I just had to pop my head into the lounge here and mention another virtual lounge that I'd love you to get around. It's the Labia Lounge Facebook group that I've created for listeners of the poddy to mingle in. There you'll find extra bits and bobs like freebies, behind the scenes, or discounts for offerings from guests who have been interviewed on the podcast. There'll also be, hopefully, inspiring, thought-provoking conversations and support from a community of labial legends like yourself. My vision for this is that it becomes a really supportive, educational, and hilarious resource for you to have more access to me and a safe space to ask questions you can't ask anywhere else. So head over to the links in the show notes or look up the Labial Lounge group in Facebook and I'll see you in there. And now, back to the episode.
So how this works is I'm going to pick a card and read you a question.
Okay.
You don't have to answer it. We can be like, next, and get another one.
Okay.
But we'll just see how we go.
Lovely.
All right. What do you hate when people say or do during sex? So, like, for example, did you come yet? Or, like, you know, if they choke or spank you without actually asking for consent or something.
Yeah, I think you're a good girl. It's terrible. Like, I just don't like it. I think it's, like,
nah. Say when someone says good girl.
Yeah. Oh, good girl. Good girl.
Yuck.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
I don't like it. I don't
like
it.
Like, what? Shut up, fucking good girl. Yeah, it's definitely not one of my favorites.
Yeah. No, that's a great answer, actually.
That's
really
right.
Relate to that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll grab another.
That's quite common, right? That one.
Well,
sometimes
I guess
I don't
some
like
people...
him. Like, oh, he's just a good girl. Like, fucking good girl.
Yeah, I think it comes from porn.
Yeah.
You know, just the like that really like stereotypical dirty talk.
Yeah.
Like, come for me, baby. Oh, good girl.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't.
It's just
don't
a bit
like
dirty,
it.
Yeah. I mean, we love it, but yeah.
I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but it's not for me. I feel pulled out of the moment when someone says good girl. I'm like, ooh, I'm not a girl. I'm a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Mate. Or like, you know, like that's, it can be a bit dominant, but like not in a nice way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. At least for us, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. What are your biggest relationship red flags?
I think someone who's possessive, you know, like I think possession.
Yeah.
I think it's important to keep your individuality.
Yes.
Low. So like someone like that is too possessive or who does like pretty much it's not very happy for like I'm free to talk to other people or just jealousy.
Yeah.
Like I think it's very important to communicate and say how you're feeling so your partner can assure you when you're feeling fragile and insecure, which will happen, you know. We will, and like other people as well. But yeah, I think like a lack of communication when that insecurity comes up, it's the big thing.
Yeah, I love that you're like, you know, the insecurity isn't the issue, it's how they handle that. And if rather than communicating, oh, I'm a bit insecure and I have some needs and can we talk, you know, to actually just be jealous and possessive is
or shut down as well, or like apply like the cold silence.
Yeah,
and then
cold
you don't
shoulder.
Know what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally, because that's just another form of trying to control, I guess, like withdrawing from you and shutting off from you. And yeah, no, I agree. Cool. All right, my first question for you, my dear. How do you feel about oral hygiene and how do you handle it when someone's got bad breath?
Yeah, look, honestly, I'm all about oral hygiene, let's be honest. You know, if my partner, I can tell if he maybe hasn't brushed his teeth, like, you can be really nice about it and just say, hey, like, maybe, like, let's brush our teeth before we, like, start making out with each other. Like, it's no harm. Like, I'm just going to be honest because I guess that's better than maybe making out with someone who has a little bit of a bad breath and you don't really want to get up in there. So I do like take some pride in some oral hygiene, so brushing twice a day. But you know, sometimes you gotta let loose a little bit and just say whatever, but you know, we do try.
I guess if it's like a recurring kind of chronic thing, you kind of gotta be like,
you gotta
all
say
right,
something.
Dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
He's snoozing on the job because like last time I checked, brushing twice a day was like pretty non-negotiable.
Exactly. Oh god, you can see all like the gunk on the teeth and you're like, oh, shit.
Yuck,
like,
dude.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, this question came about because I was chatting to my friend. Was it Hayley? No, it was Tanika. And we were talking about this dude, massive babe, super hot, love, get along really well. Yeah. Can't get past the, like, I don't know if it's, like, an actual, like, I don't know, an actual issue, like a calcium build-up or something, but it looks like, yeah, like, so much plaque has built up over the years that there's just these, like, full-on deposits of, white, gunky shit. And they've almost, like, solidified and calcified. I don't know. I want to ask about it. It's so bad. I'm like, oh, is that, like, a thing?
Yeah.
Like, is that, or do you just need to go to the dentist and get that shit, like, ground off?
Exactly.
But it's really, I'm like, oh, everything else checks out, but I wouldn't be able to kiss him.
Oh.
Mouths, man, they gross me out unless they're, like, kept in check.
And that's unfortunate if he was really, like, a bit of a babe as well. Like, it's all you want to do, right? You want to have a little make-out session, but if you've seen the plug, you're like, oh, no. Like, what are we doing here?
I can't go there. Because you know what? It's not just that. It's like, it also makes me think, what other things are you not paying attention to hygiene?
Exactly.
Like, if you can't be fuck brushing your teeth, which is like, I feel gross if I leave the house without brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
I feel conscious of my breath if I'm talking to someone, they're standing close to me, and I'm aware that I haven't brushed my teeth that day.
Yeah.
So if you're not even, like, aware of that or, like, considerate about that, then, like, imagine the dick cheese.
No, and I was just thinking about, like, the foreskin. Like, if you can't brush your teeth, like, these guys probably only pull them back and give them a wash. And I'm like, oh, my God, the smegma, no.
Smegma.
Yuck.
Oh, God. Yeah, all right, I feel like you get it. All right, cool. Next question. let's find one that I haven't. What are your non-negotiables in the bedroom and in a relationship? So it can just be, like, just purely non-negotiables with sex or, like, in a relationship or both.
I guess coming from experience, like, I had this experience with a guy who was like, oh, I want you to slap me across the face. I was like, okay, I can do that. That's fine if that's your thing. But then he slapped me without asking me, like, across the face. And I think that made me really upset. It made me, like, reevaluate, okay, what are my non-negotiables? So, you know, I mean, previously, before Eka and I started kind of dating, I was just like, look, if you're wanting to do anything pretty physical like that, like, just ask me first, because I think it's really important. Like, it gave me a bit of a shock, and it made me think about, like, oh, wow, like, maybe you need to have those kind of conversations.
Yeah.
Non-negotiables, what else have we got? I like foreplay. Foreplay, I'm not about the whole, like, okay, some circumstances, yeah, get it in as fast as you can, but like, non-negotiable, like, let's warm up, like, let's tease this out a little bit, like, let's get our bodies prepared for the, you know, this beautiful interaction that we're about to, like, dive into, you know what I mean? So non-negotiables. Yeah, and I mean, going back to the oral hygiene, like, having some nice hygiene, like, I feel better, you know, having washed before I, you know, dive into, like, some sex stuff, like...
Especially oral,
man, like, you just want to feel clean. Like, I feel really self-conscious if I, like, you know, I'm just like, look, if you want to do that, that's fine, but I would feel more comfortable as, like, a non-negotiable to make me feel, you know,
so you
settled, so I can relax, I don't have to think about it, like, those are probably, like, the first kind of ones that stuck into my head.
Second all of that. Super important. I think it's, like, wild to me that these conversations, like, the first thing you said about, like, you know, like, actually, that's impact play. That's fucking BDSM.
Like,
people are, I think, especially because of, like, access to porn now, people are doing all this BDSM and kink stuff without any of the, like, preliminary conversations that are completely essential. And, like, I was talking on the potty yesterday with someone about this, and there's a bit of an epidemic of, like, crushed tracheas from people choking without knowing that there's a correct way of doing it without crushing the person's throat and doing actual damage. And that's just through inexperience and just doing shit because they see it on TV and porn, and you know, we don't have the boundaries in consent conversations. We don't. It's like fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
And like all the other shit you said, love. I can completely see. Like,
had Echo, who was the first person I interviewed at this festival, actually, and I was like, what the fuck? You're 20, what, two?
Yeah, 22.
I was like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Like, what kids these days?
Know.
So fucking mature. I was like, are you... Get out of town!
Dude, when I met him, and I was like, oh, this guy's like 25, I'm going to his house, I'm like, yeah, like this and that, and then he was like, oh, I'm 20, and I was like 23 at the time, I was like, what? Like, that's crazy how mature, and like, you know, in touch with yourself, and how comfortable you feel about like sharing things, like, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it's a match made in heaven, in my opinion. Stoked to meet
you. That's right, well, thank you.
Cool. So, what are things people have said to you during sex that you've liked because it was either hot, funny, or made you feel really comfortable?
Interesting. Let me think. I like it when people speak, like, their own language. Like, that is, you know, and it's not in English. Like, that's, like, pretty sexy.
As in, like, an actual another language?
Yeah. Like, no, an actual... I mean, I've never...
Because I have a lot of slang in it. Some people are like, you just speak your own language, and I've...
No, definitely. I've had, like, a few partners from, like, you know, other backgrounds, and they're, like, speaking another language, and, like, even if you don't know what they're saying, it's, like, it's, like, kind of hot, you know? Like, it's definitely, like, kind of hot.
People love that shit.
Yeah. I like a bit of dirty talk. Like, not, like, super filthy, but just, like, you know, just, like, you know, keep it, like... I want, like, the auditory experience. I kind of, like... All the senses, I like smells a lot as well, which I think is a bit weird for some people, but like...
I think a lot of people would get behind that though.
Yeah.
Like body smells.
Yeah. Like if I find like a person, like a partner attractive, like their smell is like irresistible. Like I will...
Pheromones,
you know,
baby.
Yeah, get like my nose in the armpit and just like whiff it. Like, you know, it's like... It's,
same, 100%.
It smells good. Like it's like... It's like an aphrodisiac. Yes. It's like it makes you feel comfortable. 100%. Like,
yeah.
Oh, dude, I love that. What else? Noises people make. You know, like moaning is like nice. You know, like whatever. You know, if you're like showing me that what I'm doing makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. I like it when people like tell me what they like, so I can be like a better lover. I don't like it when you kind of have to like guess. It's just like, tell me, bro, and I can make this like better for both of us. Like, I don't want this to take ages for you because I want you to have like a good time. And if you just tell me, like, communication is like important, right? Like,
absolutely. This is so on brand. Completely agree with you. Love your work.
Yes, thank
you.
Fuck
yeah. That's really heartening. What a refreshing answer.
Thank you.
From a young lad like yourself. All right. What sexual advice would you give your younger self?
I think like chemistry is more important than I thought. I had like a recent experience with someone who like just like kind of didn't work on like a few levels, and like it's kind of like, unfortunately for us and them, like, is it kind of a deal breaker? I realize like I can't live like my whole life not being compatible with someone in that way. Not just sex, like there's other things that are very important, but I just realized, having had, you know, like a couple of partners, that I can't have like a relationship with someone for a long-term period of time for the rest of my life with someone who isn't willing to, like, you know, explore a little bit, try new things, and like, you know, like I said before, with like the you know, like communicating, like, you know, I've had a partner where they just like, they would ask you what you wanted, and then you would tell them, and then they would just like never do that, or like do it once and then like not do it. And it's like, but I've told you like 10 times and I'm like listening to you. Like, it's not like I'm not asking for like anything crazy, just like I reckon like pretty vanilla stuff. Just like, you know, certain like actions when you're like getting close to like climaxing. You know, you just kind of like,
finger
if you're using
the bum, like, what are we doing?
No, definitely. I mean, I've had that before. Most of the time it was like kind of uncomfortable and a bit weird. One time it felt really fucking good. Like, I came like really quick. Like I was not expecting that. Pardon? Yeah. Like that particular partner, she like suggested she wanted to try. I was like, yeah, I'll like, I want to explore. I like kind of...
I'm open.
Yeah, I want to, like, you know, if you don't try, like, how do you know if you don't like it? And then the first couple of times, you know, it was, like, a bit weird. Like, you know, it was, like, not, like, feeling very... It was, like, uncomfortable.
Totally.
And then just, like, one time she, like, found the spot and I was, like, oh, like, that kind of...
I get it now. I get it.
Yeah. I think that only happened once, though.
Excuse this quick interruption. I'm shamelessly seeking reviews and 5-star ratings for the potty because, as I'm sure you've noticed by now, it's pretty fab. And the more people who get to hear it, the more people I can help with it. Reviews and ratings actually do make a big difference to this little independent podcaster. And it's really easy to just quickly show your support by taking that simple act of either leaving 5 stars for the show on Spotify, or even better, writing a written review and leaving 5 stars over on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're a real overachiever, you can do them both. That would be mad. If you're writing a review, though, just be sure to use G-rated words, because despite the fact that this is a podcast about sexuality, words like sex can be censored and your review won't make it through the gates. Lame. Anyway, I would personally recommend doing that right now while you remember, just to get on top of it and let me know you're with me on this journey. Thanks, gang. Enjoy the rest of the epi.
What is your biggest turn on?
Biggest turn on. I reckon, like, enthusiasm. Mm. Like, just being there, being ready for a good time, making it, like, a safe space as well. Like, I want to feel, like, not judged. I want to feel like I can communicate and be open with my wants and needs. They don't have to do everything, right? Like, consent is, like, you know, key. Like, you need them to be into it. But, like, just to be, like, open-minded, be like, oh, hey, like, you know, let's try this thing. Like, it might be a bit weird, but, like, we're going to try it, and like maybe it's not going to feel good, or maybe it's like not going to be comfortable, and then like 10 minutes later we can like have a shower and laugh about it. I don't want it to be like this thing where it like, you know, you try something and then they're like, oh, you know, like I don't know, like it just like harshes the vibe. I don't know, like I think, yeah, just like communication, being comfortable with someone, them making you feel comfortable, and just, yeah, that's it, I reckon.
Sweet, man.
Yeah,
fuck, thanks so much.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I'll let you go because you're just on your way out of the festival.
Yeah, I was. Wow. But thank you.
Thanks
for
stopping by.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. This was cool. I love the orange. I love the vibe here.
Yeah. Do you prefer verbal or non-verbal communication during sex, and why?
I said both.
Both?
But if I have to choose one, I would say non-verbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because it's much more depth, the non-verbal communication, than the verbal communication.
Wait. So you prefer, you just said you prefer non-verbal.
Yeah.
And there's
both
more depth
in the non-verbal than in the verbal communication.
Right. How so?
Because you communicate much more with non-verbal communication than with verbal communication.
How so? Without using words, you're communicating more with the body. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, with the body, with your energy, with your emotions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. What do you guys think? Non-verbal or verbal? Like, what do you prefer in the bedroom?
I think I would also say non-verbal, because you build up a different kind of connection.
Mm. Do you feel like, though, in the beginning when you first meet someone, you need to have some sessions with a fair bit of, like, verbal communication to get to know one another's, like, likes and dislikes and things like that, and then as you deepen the connection, there's less need for the verbal?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that too. Combination's great. Are you going to say, all right, well, you've got a different answer, let's go, what do you got?
I think verbal is better, but that's a personal preference.
Yeah, this is why we're
because
asking.
Open communication for me, like, I feel like I can communicate what I want, don't want, like, and dislike verbally.
Mm.
And I feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
And in sex, I feel comfortable bringing not just the message of what I want to say, just fact, but also the energy of, like, the sexual energy with it. But that's a skill that I've developed over time.
Yeah, it is a skill. I think a lot of people aren't comfortable with verbalizing stuff, so they fall back on the non-verbal, but then I think there can be a lot that goes unsaid that if you just
when it's verbal,
it's clear. It's clear. And you
can make it sound
all the time.
So good.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, let me choose one more question. What's going to be a good one? What has been... I'll go around this way this time. What has been your favorite sexual experience and why?
Hard to think of a specific one, but I would say just when it happens spontaneous, somewhere outside or...
Nature.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Favorite sexual experience?
Wow. I don't even know where to start.
It's a tricky question. All right, one of the top 10. Or what makes a great sexual experience for you?
I think time is a big aspect of it, because there's been a few times that I've dedicated, let's say, like a full weekend to it. And
nice.
And you can, it's not just about sex, because when you have a lot of time, even when you're just hanging out fully clothed,
mm-hmm. yep.
everything's flowing and the sexual energy builds up.
Yes.
And
it's all foreplay.
Mm-hmm. And then the release is so much better.
All right. Spend a whole weekend, gang. That's the takeaway. Favorite sexual experience?
I was thinking while you were asking the water present. Mm-hmm. I will say, for me, I don't have a preference, like one moment, but I will say that when you combine all the different things, is the sexual. So when you are very, when you have a connection, a very deep connection with someone, and also in different ways, right? Sexual, emotional, soul, different connection, and that's potential to think.
Yeah, awesome. I agree. Love it. Amazing. Thanks, Kat.
What's your strongest area as a lover?
I think finding my partner's enjoyment a turn on, I think.
Great answer. How do you feel about oral hygiene, and how do you handle it when someone's got really bad breath?
Doesn't concern me, really.
What if you're, like, dating and it's a consistent thing?
I don't know. I haven't really had that experience. I'm not sure.
What gets you, what's something that gets you super horny?
I love dress ups. Kind of having a bit of a dress up session first, taking some photos, making a bit of like a fashion thing out of
both
it.
Both of you dressing up?
Yeah. Doing some like cool, creepy makeup and shit.
Oh my god, and then having sex after that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Nice. Great answer. No one's ever answered that before.
Really? Oh, I can't recommend it enough. It's so
sick.
Fun.
Okay. Hot tip for labial listeners.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks is, like, once you got all these, like, awesome fucking photos, you can't share them with the world unless that's your thing.
True. Yeah, I mean, if you had someone that was comfortable, you could probably put them on FIC or, like,
do
some, like, make love, not porn.
Yeah, we've kind of been toying, like, well, me more, toying with the idea of making some, like, kind of half masks, maybe,
cute,
like, bunny rabbit with sad eyebrows or something.
Yeah, just kind of it, and then you can be as creative as you want
and get to
share that, and people can get to, like, appreciate it.
Yeah, because I've looked for that kind of stuff online, just the creative, like, erotic, artistic sort of smart, like, but there's just no, there's no communities, like, I can't, yeah.
What about, like, the, like the cosplay community and, like, you know, versions of, like, furries and stuff with, like, the animal face paint and costumes.
Yeah. I mean, furries are really interesting. Like, I quite respect them in a sense.
Mm-mm-mm.
But then I think it's just a shame there's not more things like that. Cause,
I mean, you got to go to America, hey? Like, there's not a scene for... There's a scene... I felt like there was a scene for everything in Melbourne, but, like, I guess there's not, you know, or it's such a small scene that... Yeah, I don't know. But I went to a cosplay convention after dark rave in Perth.
Ah, yeah, cool.
Because, like, a mate was doing fire twirling there, and his mate runs it and had started doing these after dark events after the cosplay convention, because people wanted that, like, bit more sexy, sensual, like, party kind of thing to all gather, because they gathered at the convention, but then what spaces do they have to dress up and party and take some pingers and,
which is what you want.
So that was cool. I think there's a bit of a scene for that in Melbourne. Maybe you should find that.
And there's like kink nights and stuff too.
Yeah.
You can get creative and dress up and go to those.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, no worries.
What sexual advice would you give your younger self?
My younger self. Just not to worry about it. Just small pano. Just to, I guess, maybe view it like the rest of life as something kind of beautiful and nourishing, but not any different from.
You got this.
Yeah. The other ones. Shit, man, I don't know. But
no, you're nailing it.
I'm not sure.
You're nailing it. I think that's, like, sounds like just, you know, take the pressure off little Panu and be like, it's all chill. None of it's as big of a deal as it's,
It's actually quite, you know, quite relaxing. You know.
Sex is relaxing,
you mean? No, just, yeah, sex is relaxing, obviously, but, like, just the whole concept of life, and I don't know, like, I forgot what I was getting at.
That's fine. You know what happens? Like, as soon as the recorder comes out, everyone's brain just goes, and then just like fully, you just every single tangent, abort, miscarry, see you later. And then you get worse because you're like, fucking hell, I'm butchering this, aren't I? And then you're hot and sweaty and we're all listening. We get it.
Yeah,
you,
you're
fine. That was help. That was like four women just all like listening to you. You probably just...
No, I feel like... Point that thing in
exactly.
It. Just hide it.
No, but
it
needs to be near your mouth. Just, okay. If you just look at me, if I just have it here and you look at me while you're talking, it'll get it.
But you know that you've got it too. All right.
I like eye contact when I'm having a conversation about sex, so...
Sex, what was the question?
Yeah,
hit
what
me.
Would you,
give
what,
it
like, advice would you give your younger self about sex, like knowing what you know now?
It doesn't matter more than the rest of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a part of life that is... definitely has something about it that is like draws you in and tastes good.
Nice. All right, what do I feel like I've got
we edit that bad boy, just chop the good bits.
I can totally do that for you. What's your biggest sexual turn on?
Oh, probably deep threading.
Okay. Easy answer.
That was quick
You knew exactly
what else.
Something to do with bums.
Okay, cool. Quick pivot. Just to get a third one in before you go, and your head literally bursts. Did your parents like teach you how to clean your dick when you were a kid?
Not sure about how to clean my dick, but they did not navigate the sexual realms at all. So I had to kind of, and there was that would have been appreciated.
Yeah, totally. I think we can all agree with that. Mum and dad, they were doing their best, weren't they? Yeah,
yes,
but
they
like
were.
A
they
lot
were.
Of people, I feel like, didn't get taught how to clean their genitals when they were a kid, and like, I don't know.
You reckon?
Yeah, like, did your dad be like, okay, like, let's have a shower and I'll show you how to peel back your foreskin and clean underneath it?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Some dads didn't.
That was, I don't know, like, we would shower together and it was all, you know.
Yeah, he just showed you and it was normal.
I mean, he did it, I did it.
Yeah, great. Exactly. We, like, learned from copying our parents.
Just being around him being comfortable in the shower with his giant cock.
I mean, you're a kid, though. You wouldn't have even realised it was anything to be feeling weird about, right?
No, I mean, I remember, like, at some point I noticed that mine wasn't as big as his.
Oh, how old are you?
Probably like 7 when I noticed that.
Oh, well, yeah, 7-year-old dick.
Yeah.
And you felt insecure about that? You felt insecure about that, even as a 7-year-old noticing your dad's dick was bigger and being like, aw.
I think it just kept growing, like, until I was at least 20 or older, 24, let's say.
Your dick kept growing until
I think
24.
So.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Aren't you like 24 now?
No, I'm older.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Old ass.
It was definitely it was small and then it got to like okay and then it got to like I think slightly
God.
Bigger than okay.
Whoa. Because you feel like the rest of you stops growing when you're
I shit you not. My dick like got bigger
spurt.
In my 20s.
Had a late, a late in life growth spurt.
Yeah,
there's hope out there, Kay. It's like not that size matters, but it's like some men
size matters to me
until they're like, well, some men never grow a beard, but some men are like, is this going to happen? I'm like 25. You know, maybe they're blonde and they don't have heaps of facial hair, and they're like, oh, actually,
can we get
just
back
can't
to
grow a facial. Sorry, yeah.
You give me questions about penises and all.
You want more?
Oh, just
questions?
Stimuli penis, you know, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you swallowed your own cum before or tasted?
No, I tasted, but like then you're just like, blah.
You didn't like.
You're just like, I can't believe you've done this.
Oh, I think it's a good thing to do.
No, I mean, no. I can believe I've done it, but I'm like, that is disgusting.
But now you know what the people that you sleep with go through.
I think I might be okay with somebody else's cum.
Oh, yeah?
If it's down my throat and I don't have to taste it.
True, if it just skips the taste buds entirely. So deep throating, we're coming back to
yeah.
it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Okay. What other dick questions? Anyone got any dick questions we want to throw?
It was just dick.
More of the comment, I heard it just gets girthier after 20.
It gets girthier after
20. Yeah, I think that's it.
A bit wider.
Oh. I guess your nose and your ears keep growing.
What's your favourite dick move? Like, as in, do you do the windmilling?
Penis puppetry.
Do you penis puppetry? Do you like?
Oh yeah. What's like some fun thing that you do with your dick other than pleasuring yourself? Like, do you have any fun moves that you do with your dick? Because honestly, penis and balls—they're so fun. They have so much like malleability. They're stretchy. They're fucking super versatile and soft. What do you do?
I feel like you were nailing that question yourself. Alright, hold on. Alright, so I definitely wank my dick.
Okay.
Beat it like it owes me money.
Okay. Okay, look at me, because you're turning away from the microphone now.
Right on, cool. Right on.
I don't want to be like sticking it in your face.
But... Yeah, you can do that. I just need to look at that red stuff.
Okay. That's fine.
What was the question? Dicks. What do I... I just like to have my hand there, like...
Yeah, it's comforting.
Like, all the time.
Yeah. Kids do that. I think it's really comforting.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the main one.
Yeah. So you don't, like, I don't know, just, you know, sometimes stand and, like, swing it around.
It's kind of sensitive in that sense of, like, if you slap a flaccid dick against, like, you know, anything.
Okay. And it's unpleasant.
I find it unpleasant, but I also may be, like, extra sensitive, I think.
Right.
Because...
Do you have a foreskin still?
Yes. Got one. Got two.
Got two? What? Got four. Cool. All right. I reckon, I don't know, do you have any questions for us? Otherwise, I reckon that's a wrap, because we're spitting in here.
Yeah. No, I'm good with that.
You feel complete?
I feel pretty, yeah. I feel whole or, like, sensual.
Job well done.
Hey, me again. If you'd like to support the potty and you've already given it 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, I want to mention that you can buy some really dope merch from the website and get yourself a Labia Lounge tote, tee, togs. Yep, you heard that right. I even have Labia Lounge bathers or a cute fanny pack if that'd blow your hair back. So if fashion isn't your passion, though, you can donate to my Buy Me a Coffee donation page, which is actually called Buy Me a Soy Chai Latte, because I'll be the first to admit I'm a bit of a Melbourne cafe tosser like that. And yes, that is my coffee order. You can do a once-off donation or an ongoing membership and sponsor me for as little as 3 fat ones a month. And I also offer one-on-one coaching and online courses that'll help you level up your sex life and relationship with yourself and others in a really big way. So every bit helps, because it ain't cheap to put out a sweet podcast into the world every week out of my own pocket. So I will be undyingly grateful if you support me and my biz financially in any of these ways. And if you like, I'll even give you a mental BJ with my mind from the lounge itself. Saucy. And I'll pop the links in the show notes. Thank you. Later. And that's it, darling hearts. Thank you for stopping by the Labia Lounge. Your bum groove in the couch will be right where you left it, just waiting for you to sink back in for some more double L action next time. And in the meantime, if you'd be a dear and subscribe, share this episode, or leave a review on iTunes, then you can pat yourself on the snatch, because that, my dear, is a downright act of sex-positive feminist activism. And you'd be supporting my vision to educate, empower, demystify, and destigmatize with this here podcast. Also, I'm always open to feedback, topic ideas that you'd love to hear covered, or guest suggestions. So feel free to get in touch via my website at freyagraph.com, or say hey over on Insta. My handle is freya_graph_ymt, and I seriously hope you're following me on there, because damn, we have fun. Anyway, later, labial legends. I'll see you next time.